stops in the Bible this afternoon. I think we can do it. All right, first place will be 1 John chapter number 4. 1 John chapter number 4. Fear is evidently a natural human emotion. It's part of being. Fear is mentioned 385 times in the Bible. Afraid is mentioned 189 times in the Bible. And there are 63 commands in the Word of God to fear not. That's a lot of repetition for one command. 63 times, fear not. You're not told that many times to be baptized. You aren't told that many times to give or to witness, to go to church. 63 times, fear not. 98 times the Bible commends the fear of the Lord and the fear of God. And we want to start here this afternoon in 1 John chapter 4, verse number 18. The Bible says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us." Heavenly Father, this afternoon we pray that you will speak to our hearts. Help us, Lord, to be able to cast out any fears that are hindering our ability to live the life you want us to be living, preventing us from service, preventing us from doing the things that we ought to be doing. And we just help us, Lord, this afternoon to trust what your word says, because your word is truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, I've never understood people that like to go to those horror movies. I mean, why would you pay money to try and get scared? And I've never understood saved people who could read a Bible and then go on the internet and read things that are going to make them afraid, when they can read the Word of God and find hope and joy and comfort and peace. Well, here's what I know from what we just read, in fact. What you are afraid of torments you. And the more time you occupy your mind and your heart with things that you're afraid of, the more tormented you're going to be. I mean, why would I voluntarily torment myself? Why would I want to be tormented? You say, well, you know, I've got factual information. Well, so do I right here. Amen? And, you say, well, I got these websites that I go to, and they really tell you about things that, you know, the rest of the world doesn't know about. Well, this Bible, it'll tell you things that the rest of the world doesn't know about. So why are you opting for that which causes you to live in fear, instead of opting for that which would allow you to live in victory over those fears? Okay, and I'm going to go over this again by popular demand. This is big talk nowadays. You know, I'm a survivor. Everybody's either a victim or a survivor these days. And every time the wind blows, it's devastating. You know, those victim, survivor, devastating, victor, survivor, devastating. If you can say those words, you can be a newscaster. You got a job, okay, because you just plug in some nouns and verbs around those three words, and you can do it. Okay, you know, think about it. Think about just recent history. 2000, Y2K is going to kill us all. 2001, anthrax is going to kill us all. 2002, West Nile virus is going to kill us all. 2003, SARS is going to kill us all. 2004, Islam's going to kill us all. 2005, bird flu is going to kill us all. 2006, E. coli is going to kill us all. 2008, the bad economy is going to kill us all. 2009, swine flu is going to kill us all. 2010, the BP oil spill is going to kill us all and kill all the fish in the sea. 2011, for Americans anyway, Obamacare is going to kill us all. 2012, the Mayan end of the world calendar, that's going to kill us all. 2013, North Korea, they're going to kill us all. 2014, Ebola, is going to kill us all. 2015, ISIS is going to kill us all. 2016, Zika is going to kill us all. 2017, fake news is going to kill us all. Now, 2018, migrant caravans are going to kill us all. 2019, measles was the thing that's going to kill us all. 2020, guess what? Coronavirus is going to kill us all. 2021, well, it's still going. The increase of activism and rioting is going to kill us all. And this year, maybe it'll be China or Russia or Iran or climate change or a financial depression most likely going to kill us all. But I'll tell you one thing for sure that is going to kill us all. Sin is going to kill us all. Sin is going to kill us all. It might come in one vehicle or another, but the Bible says the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. Look at Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. We're going to look at the word of the Lord this afternoon quite a bit, quite a bit, instead of the words of the experts. Joshua chapter 1. You say, well, I think the government's lying about that coronavirus business. Well, why are you listening to the government? If everything they say, you say they're lying, why do you keep listening to them? Nothing that God said is a lie. Why not listen to God? Everything in the Bible is true. Why not read the Bible? Joshua chapter 1, verse number 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Are you doing that? That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Now, are you saved this afternoon? Did Jesus say, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee? Did he say that? Then why be afraid? Why be dismayed? God has commanded us. Listen, he didn't command us to never be afraid. He commanded us to get out of that way of thinking just as rapidly as possible. And he didn't command us to never be smitten by something that causes fear to arise up in our hearts. He commanded us to immediately return our thoughts to his presence and his word so that we can be courageous and not be fearful. Amen. All right, let's just go through this Old Testament. First of all, 1 Chronicles is next. 1 Chronicles 28. About the middle of your Old Testament, unless you got a Jewish Bible, be the end. All right, let's look here at verse number 20. 1 Chronicles chapter 28 and verse number 20. Verse 20, and David said to Solomon his son, be strong and of good courage, and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed. For the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee, until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. Would to God we could believe that, as much as we believe Republicans and Democrats and independents and socialists and communists and conservatives. We jump with fear. We shake with alarm at every new report that comes about, you know, what our government is doing and what this germ is doing and what this group of people is doing. You know what the Lord said? Just keep working on my house. I'll be with you until you finish the work I gave you to do. Stop being afraid. Stop being afraid. Come on, get at it. Go on, get on it. That's the command from the Lord. Don't let that fear stop you. Psalm 27. The 27th Psalm. And verse number 1. People say, well, you know, I don't get my information from the web. I get my information from the dark web. Well, what would be any more hopeful about a dark web than the regular web? Doesn't sound more hopeful to me. Doesn't sound better to me. Or doesn't sound like a place you'd go to try and get encouraged, that's for sure. Not going to get your spirits up on the dark web, are you? Well, as opposed to that, let's try this. Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? How about that? You say, well, there's bad stuff out there. Okay, look at verse 2. When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. How about that? Now notice, he didn't say, I'm not afraid because I don't have any enemies. He said, I got enemies all over the place, but the Lord is my light and the Lord is my salvation. And why would I be afraid of enemies when I've got God? May the Lord help us to believe the Bible that we claim to believe. Psalm 46 is next. Psalm 46. A lot of scripture today, not so much preaching, though. You don't need a lot of preaching when you got a lot of scripture. Psalm 46, verse number 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Selah. You know that if the earth gets any hotter, that what? Do you know if the earth should suddenly cool off? What? Did you know that if we change the balance of nature, did you know this species becomes extinct? Did you know if we cut down so many more trees in that forest? Did you know? What are you so worried about? If the earth shakes, you abide in God. If the wind blows, you abide in God. If the temperature rises, you abide in God. If the temperature falls, you abide in God. Why are you allowing people to make you afraid? I read in my Bible there's a 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ on this earth. Well, then that tells me the earth is not going anywhere anytime soon. It'll still be here 1,000 years from now. Okay, and the Lord is just going to melt the whole thing and remake it. We'll still be here. Okay, so what are we to be afraid of? Well, you know, the waters and the... Yeah. Here we are. You know, what? Well, you know, if the population increases any more than it is here, now we're all going to die. Well, you know what? They told me that when I was in high school. That's a long time ago. We're all going to die if the population increases. There's not going to be enough food. There's not going to be enough water. There's not going to be enough room. The population of the earth has doubled since then. Drive through a place like Texas. We got room for more. Lots of room for more. There's a zillion people in Houston, Texas, and a zillion people in Dallas, and a zillion people in Austin, and there's just wilderness and cows, wilderness and cows, wilderness and cows, all, as far as your eye can see, until you hit New Mexico and Arizona, where there's not as many cows, but there's still plenty of open land. And we're still alive. Praise the Lord. Psalm 118. Psalm 118. Psalm 118 and verse number 4. Verses 4, 5, and 6 we'll read. Let them now that fear the Lord say that his mercy endureth forever. I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do unto me. See, if it's just you against the government, okay, you got something to be afraid of. If it's just you against the world, you've got something to be afraid of. If it's you against the devil and the hosts of evil and the principalities and the powers and who knows what else is out there, okay, you've got a lot to be afraid of. But if the Lord is on your side, just get behind him and peek out and say, ha, 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 ha. Amen. Well, I mean, we're saved. And we come to church and we sing songs and the preacher opens the Bible and we listen to a little bit of preaching and then we go back out there and we just get totally, completely absorbed in the world and what the world is doing and what the people in the world are doing and what sin in the world is doing and what the devil is doing. And as soon as we get absorbed with the enemy, we get overwhelmed. Not because of the enemy, but because our thinking is wrong about that enemy. And our trust is misplaced. Or forgotten, I guess. Look, you can trust men to do wrong. Amen? You don't need to bring me one report after another. Looky here, men are doing wrong. I know that. You don't have to tell me. I might not know all the little details, but I know men are doing wrong. So how about this? Look here, I've got a report right here. Top secret. Okay, top secret information right here in this book. You say, well, what do you mean top secret? Well, there's millions and millions of people who don't even know what's in here. But I know if the Lord is on your side, you don't need to be afraid of man. Praise God. Yeah, but yeah, that's the Old Testament though. Okay, let's look at some New Testament. John 14, let's try that. John chapter 14. Why would you be trying to find a loophole to not be encouraged by God's promises to be with you and to cast out your fear? John 14. Here Jesus Christ is getting ready to leave. Verse 25, he says, these things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, well that sounds nice, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. That's a pretty clear statement on the Trinity, did you notice? He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Isn't that a blessing? Now here's some things that we learned growing up, or I learned anyway. I was about 13 or 14, I'm not real sure, years old, and one year in December I was checking the Christmas tree lights before hanging them on the tree, And it's a real simple job. You just plug them in the wall and look for, you know, look for the bulbs that don't light up and put a new bulb in it. But for some reason, I decided while that was plugged into the wall that I was going to put my finger in the light socket of those Christmas tree lights. And I learned what a light bulb feels like. I became one with 120 volts flowing through me. Let me tell you, that's a feeling you don't soon forget, nor do you wish to repeat it. And thankfully, I haven't. But I'm telling you, I still remember that. But here's what I learned. I learned, let not your arm put your finger in light sockets. Okay? Let not. Let be is the word I'm trying to get you to focus on here. Okay? Now, I could still do it if I wanted to, but I learned that that's not to my advantage. Okay? So, you know, and do you know what the Lord said? You can be afraid. You can be afraid. Okay? But I want you to learn that there's no advantage to being afraid. Learn. There's no blessing in it. Learn. It doesn't help you. It doesn't help anyone around you. Don't let yourself be afraid. Okay? That's what he said. Get control of your heart. Get control of your thoughts. Get control of what you feed your mind and your heart. Don't let yourself be afraid. Why? Well, because you've got a comforter for whatever goes wrong. You've got the Holy Ghost to keep you from whatever is sinful. Praise God. Don't let yourself be afraid. Oftentimes, we worry about the things we shouldn't worry about and can't control them anyway, so it doesn't make any sense to worry about them. And we don't worry about the things that we can control and we ought to be worried about. Here's something. I'm just going to read this to you. It was written a long time ago, 1890. It's a long time ago, way before I was in elementary school, I think. The sun's heat will give out in 10 million years or more. It will sure give out then if it doesn't before. And he worried about it. It would surely give out, so the scientist said, in all scientifical books that he had read. And the whole boundless universe will then be dead. And he worried about it. And someday the earth will fall into the sun, just as sure and as straight as if shot from a gun. And he worried about it. When strong gravitation unbuckles her straps, just picture, he said, what a fearful collapse. It will come in a few million ages, perhaps. And he worried about it. And the earth will become much too small for the race, and we'll pay $30 for 1 inch of pure space. And he worried about it. The earth will be crowded so much, without doubt, that there won't be room for one's tongue to stick out, no room for one's thought to wander about. And he worried about it. And the Gulf Stream will curve and New England grow torrider than was ever the climate of southernmost Florida. And he worried about it. Our ice crop will be knocked into small smithereens, and crocodiles block up our mowing machines, and we'll lose our fine crops of potatoes and beans. And he worried about it. And in less than 10,000 years, there's no doubt, our supply of lumber and coal will give out. And he worried about it. Just then, the ice age will return cold and raw. Frozen men will stand stiff with arms outstretched in awe, as if vainly beseeching a general thaw. And he worried about it. His wife took in washing, half a dollar a day. His daughter sewed shirts, the rude grocer to pay. He didn't worry about it. While his wife beat her tireless rub-a-dub sub on the washboard drum of her old wooden tub, he sat by the stove and he just let her rub. He didn't worry about it. That's it. Most of the time when we're afraid of things that we cannot control. And at the neglect of things that we could control. You cannot better the world. You could better your marriage. Amen. I can't better society. I can better my friendships. I cannot better the circumstances of geopolitical politics and world affairs. But I could better my church, or try to. Look in your Bible to Deuteronomy 28. And let's see what happens when we fail to obey God's words. Deuteronomy chapter 28. And verse number 58. When I preach something like this, and I think I've done it consistently through the years, the week that follows, I might get some people email me or bring me things in, some news articles or something, that if I just knew about it, I'd really be afraid. Why are you bringing things to me? You want me to be afraid? When I have hundreds of passages in the Bible telling me not to be afraid. Why? Are you one of those seducing spirits? Are you trying to lure me into your realm of depression and doubt? I don't want to go there. I have as many reasons to be afraid as you do, but I just don't want to be afraid. If they're showing you a scary movie at the theater in town, don't invite me. Okay, I don't want to see it. You try to think of something else that might scare me. You live out there in the desert. There's all kinds of poisonous snakes and scorpions out there. Yeah, they've been there forever, haven't they? There's always been snakes and scorpions out there. And rats, I found out. You drive a car, don't you? There's people headed your way that are texting and driving, right? They're not looking for you, okay? And my point is, fear will paralyze you. You'll become incapable of doing anything if you dwell on all the bad things that might happen. And they might, but they probably won't. Then you wasted all that time worrying. All right, Deuteronomy 28, verse number 58. If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, okay, that's really what we ought to be concerned about, doing what God told us to do in the Holy Bible. Okay, now watch. Watch, I'm just reading here. 58. If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God. You see that? The Lord said, I want you to read my word and fear me. What if we don't? Look at verse 65. And among these nations shalt thou find no ease, neither shall the sole of thy foot have rest. But the Lord shall give thee there a trembling heart, and failing of eyes, and sorrow of mind, and thy life shall hang in doubt before thee. And thou shalt fear day and night, and shalt have none assurance of thy life. In the morning thou shalt say, Would God it were even. And at even thou shalt say, Would God it were morning. For the fear of thine heart, wherewith thou shalt fear, and for the sight of thine eyes, which thou shalt see. See, they can't enjoy sunrise because they're afraid. I wish this day would just be over. They can't enjoy a peaceful nighttime because they're afraid. I wish that sun would hurry up and come up. Fear robs you of life. It robs you of the enjoyment of life. Now, I don't mean to make light of anybody's troubles. Really, I don't. If you know me, you know that's true. I'm not trying to make light of your troubles. I do try to make light of mine as much as I possibly can. So let's look at my country here for a minute, because honestly, Americans, they can't even remember. In fact, it was probably 1865, the last time artillery was used against Americans in our own land. There might have been a couple of crazy guys in World War II that got as far as the California coast and dropped a bomb or two on the beach. But I'm just saying, we're not being bombarded in America. Americans have grocery stores with so many things to eat that we prove it whenever we step on a scale. Honestly, America is the wealthiest, safest, most prosperous, most comfortable nation you can think of in this world. And millions of Americans can't enjoy any of it. Oh, they're going to take it all away from us. Well, then get it while you can. Well, it may not be this way someday. Well, it is that way today. Eat. Get dressed, dance in front of your yard, enjoy life. Man, people are walking around like they're in refugee camps or something, and you know, sitting in a restaurant they don't need to be in. Their refrigerator's full of food, their freezer's full of food, cabinets are full of food, and yet they say, let's go out and eat. Appetizer, sir? You know any Americans that need an appetizer? I don't think appetite is their problem. And then, the full course meal with the salad and with the soup and with the bread, and they come around after that and they say, anybody have room for dessert? I didn't have room for dessert when I walked in there. And the whole time we're sitting at the table spending $100 to feed our family, probably more than that if you got a bigger family, but things are really bad. Things are so bad. I tell you, it's getting worse all the time. We're really in a bad way. And then you go get in your $50,000 truck. Oh, I'm a little hot. And she says, well, I'm not. Well, my side adjusts differently than your side. We have two separate adjustments in the same cab of the truck. And, what are they complaining about? That's my point, okay? And you can even adjust your seat one way and her seat the other way, and you got that fancy climate control, and that's in a truck. Well, I tell you, man, that government, they're about to ruin everything. Why don't you just have a good time? Just enjoy it until the government does do something. Christians sitting in church are getting themselves all worried about things that they learned on the internet. Oh, didn't you hear? They're building concentration camps all over America. They're going to put Christians in concentration camps. Anybody heard that one? That's true. I mean, that's one that's going around. Well, then, if that's true, why don't you just have a good time today? Just live today like you're in a concentration camp. And what I'm saying is, why should you live your life as if you're already living in that concentration camp instead of just having a good time today while you can? Okay, and you can avoid the concentration camp. Just try to make a run for it when they come for you. Shove that guard and start running. He'll send you straight to heaven. That's where you want to be anyway, isn't it? Amen? All right, Proverbs chapter 1. You're not sure about that, are you? Proverbs chapter 1, verse 32. And again, this here is so true of America. Proverbs 1:32. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. You know why people were out there holding riots in the middle of the daytime in Portland, Oregon, and Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and St. Louis, and all that? Because America is so rich that they feed people with those welfare checks so that those people can stay home and have a lot of time to plan those riots because the government is so unfair. If the government was as unfair as you say it is, you wouldn't have a free house and free food and time to riot. You'd be working. But fools, they die in prosperity because they can't appreciate what they have. Look at verse 33. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. So what's the cure for the fear of evil? What is it that'll quiet you down, give you peace, calm you down? It's not a pill. It's not a psychiatrist. It's not a medication. It's not booze. It is hearkening unto God. Okay? Whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely. Hearkening unto God, that's what you need. Look at Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29. My country's so far gone now that we've got a president sitting in office right now, and I guess his strategy is, let me show the country that you don't have to be smart to be president. Stupid is winning the day. Doesn't matter what you say or how crazy it is, because somehow the people of America think they've got it really bad. And who's going to come and rescue me from how bad I've got it? You know, you couldn't think that way if you read your Bible every day. Really, what do I learn when I read my Bible? My sins were forgiven. My soul is saved. I've got eternal life. God daily loadeth me with benefits. He put shoes on my feet, clothes on my back, food on my table, a roof over my head. He comforts me in my sorrow. And he's going to take me home to a mansion city in a place that he's prepared for me. And you want me to get upset because they raised the tax on your Amazon shipment when they opened a local warehouse? Man, it used to be tax-free. Now I have to pay tax on all my Amazon stuff. Yeah, but you're buying stuff you don't even need and griping that there's sales tax on it. Just don't buy it. There's zero sales tax on just enjoying what you already have. Proverbs 29, verse number 25. The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. You know, there's animals that have a lot more sense than some humans that I know. In America, there's places where wild deer might wander out of the woods and roam around on your property sometimes. And there's been people who thought that it would be kind of neat to, if they could catch one of those deer, not kill it, but just catch it. I don't know what they want to do with it after they catch it, but just say hi, I guess. But if you ever wanted to catch a wild deer with some kind of a trap in your yard, that deer wouldn't even come near that thing, whatever it is. It would smell that you'd been there, or it would see you out of the corner of its eye and know exactly what you were trying to do. And it wouldn't do it. That deer would rather just be free in the woods than to have his life and have his life free to do deer stuff. Whatever deers do, I don't know. But now, wouldn't it be dumb if you went out there and you saw a deer and you said, what are you doing, deer? Oh, I'm setting up a rifle here. Why are you setting up a rifle? Well, I'm going to set up this rifle. I'm going to put a long string on it. Then I'm going to go stand over there, and I'm going to pull the string that's going to pull that trigger, and I'm going to shoot my deer self. Say, boy, that'd be a dumb thing to do. Why would a deer shoot itself? Why would a wild animal living free out in the woods trap itself? Well, it wouldn't. They got better sense than that. Well, but do you know what Christians do? Well, praise the Lord. Let's sing songs about Jesus. Praise the Lord. Let's hear a sermon from the Bible. Praise the Lord. I'm going to get up and read my 3 chapters this morning. Now, where's the news? What are you going to do with the news? I'm going to put a snare out here and stick my foot in it and pull the rope. Why? Because I just want to be afraid. I just want to be afraid. Christian, what are you doing? Hey, let's go. Let's go witness. Oh, I can't. I can't. Why? Well, because there's a lot of bad stuff that could happen if I did that. Hey, Christian, let's go over and tell some people about the Lord. Oh, no, no, no. There's bad stuff that could happen. Jesus Christ sets people free, and they go around looking for ways to ensnare themselves with fear. God said, don't do that. Don't do that. Jesus said, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. That means you got enough stuff that's going to happen to you today that you ought to deal with without sitting around thinking about what might happen tomorrow that probably won't happen. Let's look at Matthew chapter 10. Just speeding through here today, hopefully not too fast. You let me know if it is. We're not in a hurry, are we? Matthew 10, verse number 28. Matthew 10, 28. Americans say, oh, there's a lot of crime and violence out there. Well, it can't be all that bad. Millions of people try to sneak into America. You don't see a lot of people trying to escape the USA to try and get to Afghanistan or Mexico or even Canada. Verse 28. And fear not them which kill the body. Anybody here believe the Bible? And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not 2 sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore. Ye are of more value than many sparrows. How about that? Someone says, well, somebody might kill me. Okay, somebody might kill you. Fear God. Okay, don't fear them that might kill you. Fear God. Are you saved? Okay, if somebody kills you, you will immediately be in the presence of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, won't you? That shouldn't be such a bad thing. In fact, that'd probably be the best thing that ever happened to us. The Lord said, don't be afraid of that. You could sit around all day saying, somebody's going to come get me. They might. They might. But they probably won't. If they do, where are you? If you're saved, you're with Jesus. Luke 21 is next. Luke 21. Fingers getting tired yet? Luke 21, verse 26. Look what's going on in the neighborhood. Look what's going on in the church house. Luke 21, verse 26. Men's hearts failing them for fear. You know what? People go to the doctor. Doctor, I think I'm having a heart attack. The doctor says, no, you're not having a heart attack. You're just stressed out. Doc, I can't breathe. I can't breathe. What's the matter with me, doc? It's just anxiety. It's just anxiety. Why are people's hearts failing for fear? What would cause this kind of fear that shuts the heart down, makes it impossible for you to catch your breath? Look, for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. You know why people are afraid? Because they're looking where God told them not to look. Because they're occupied with things God told them not to be occupied with. If you spend your day looking at what men are doing on the earth, it's going to hurt your heart. It's going to hurt your emotions. It's going to hurt your psyche. Okay, it's going to hurt your breathing. What is it doing? It's robbing you of life, of good life. What do we do when we get scared? We stop breathing. What do we do when we get scared? Our heart starts pounding. Now, that's going to happen often enough in this life with something that startles you, something that shocks you, catches you off guard. So why voluntarily subject yourself to that on a daily basis? It's not healthy, physically or spiritually. Men's hearts failing for fear. Why? They're looking at what's going on in the earth instead of looking to the Lord. Psalm number 56. Back to the Old Testament. Psalm 56 and verse number 9. God, help me with this. Help me to trust the Lord. The Bible says in verse number 9, when I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. In God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. What was the cure? It wasn't making all men be nice so they can't hurt you. It's trusting the Lord. Trusting the Lord. Proverbs 3. Right there in the neighborhood. Proverbs 3. I know it's a lot of verses today. We could read a lot more. These are just some hand-picked verses today. And we need them. We need them in this day and time especially. Proverbs 3, verse 21. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Let not them what? Them, God's words. That's God's words. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from being taken. How many people last night couldn't get a good night's sleep because they were afraid? Many, 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 many. You know, that sudden fear. You're walking and something startles you. Different people, they're afraid of different things at a different level. We got people here, maybe you're afraid of spiders. Oh, they see a spider, sudden fear. Snakes, you see a snake, oh, sudden fear, right? They see the pastor when they're smoking. Sudden fear. It just hits you. Okay. You know why you survive seeing that spider and that snake and that pastor? Because you quickly got over it. We can't avoid that sudden rise or the rise of sudden fear. Okay, those are going to happen. It's part of life. The thing is, what are you going to do with it? Are you going to immediately get yourself right back into the trust of the Lord? Or are you going to stay there and dwell on that fear? Go to Matthew chapter 14. Three more stops. Matthew 14. I need this. I know you need this. We all need this. Matthew 14. You know that nightly news? Nightly news. That's just a soap opera for men. Ladies in the afternoon, they used to watch these soap operas. Will Jill run off with Tom? Will Tom stay with Sue? Will Sue drink the poison medicine in the medicine cabinet? Tune in tomorrow. The man comes home and he says, "That's a bunch of junk. Turn that stuff off." And he sits down and turns on the news. Will Trump tweet again? Will Pelosi's teeth stay in? Will Kim Jong-un shoot a rocket at the moon? Tune in tomorrow. Matthew 14. Matthew 14, this is Jesus in verse 23. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. Well, I would. I would. I'd do that. That's sudden fear. If I'm in a boat on the sea in a storm and I see a person walking across the water coming toward the boat that I'm in, I'm gonna be afraid. Okay? I'm scared. Now, I'm only scared probably because of the books that I've read or the movies I've seen, right? Because otherwise we'd say, "Wow, that's pretty cool." But in our minds, it's got to be a ghost or maybe a monster or something. It's just the way we think. We've been conditioned to think. Anyway, it says in verse 27, "But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid." Okay? Wind, waves, storm, person walking on the water, they're afraid. Jesus said, "I'm here. Don't be afraid." 28, "And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou," who else would it be? "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus." Now, the wind is still blowing. The waves are still raging. They're still in the middle of the storm. But Peter, his eyes and his focus is locked on Jesus Christ. Okay? Verse 30, "When he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" All right, so the wind is blowing while he's got his eyes on Jesus, but it doesn't bother him. When he gets his eyes off of Jesus, then he's afraid. The waves pounding. When he's got his eyes on Jesus, he's not afraid. When he takes his eyes off of Jesus, he's afraid. He's walking on the water. That is, he's doing something he couldn't normally do while he's got his eyes on Jesus. That's something to think about. And when he takes his eyes off Jesus, he's doing what he could normally do. Sink. You see that? Come on, please see that. Okay. It's not our circumstances that wreck us. It's that we get occupied with those circumstances instead of the Lord who is there. God help us. You're going to have storms in your home and storms in your finances and storms in your health. and storms in your relationships, well, is Jesus there or not? If Jesus is there, why are you looking at this? Why are you looking at that? Because that's this and that. That's what gets us. All right? These last two verses, we'll look at them side by side and finish up here. Job 22 and Psalm 56. Job 22 and Psalm 56, cause and effect. You learned that. You learned about that in school, didn't you? Cause and effect. Cause and effect. All right, so first we'll look at the cause. Job 22, verse number 10. Therefore snares are round about thee, and sudden fear troubleth thee. Okay, there are none of us that are going to live free of sudden fear. You know, someone comes, says, the doctor said, the layoff was me. I just found out about my son. I just learned that my daughter, this situation has arisen in the church. Okay? All right, so there's the cause. Sudden fear troubleth thee. Now look at Psalm 56. Verse number 3. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. We cannot live without things arising in our life that cause us to suddenly be afraid. Are we going to, in that moment, say, I'm going to stay here and get everything I can out of fear? Or am I going to move as quickly as I can to trusting the Lord? God help us. God help us. See, the command is not, don't ever get scared. The command is, don't stay scared. The command is not, how dare you be afraid. The command is, just don't stay there. Trust the Lord. He'll never leave. He'll never forsake. He'll never allow what he won't empower. And the worst that could happen, you'll die. And you're in the presence of Jesus. So may God help us not to give in to fear. Not to feed and nurture fear, but to trust in the Lord. Spend more time in God's word than we do with man's word. And let the Lord deliver us from these things that would make us afraid. Amen. Would you stand as we pray? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for reminding us that fear can disable us. Fear can make our lives miserable, make us unable to move forward and move on with our lives and do the things that you would have us to do and things that would benefit us and our families. Help us, Lord, to pay attention to how we react to the things that suddenly come up that startle us and cause us to fear, and to help us, Lord, to move on from those things, that we might look to you and know your peace once again and be able to be strong and go on about the work of the Lord and doing the things that we need to do to meet the needs of our family. And Father, we pray that if there's anything that's any kind of fear that's been preventing any of us from stepping out and opening our mouths, opening a Bible and telling someone about the wonderful Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, and how he died for their sins. Help us, Lord, to overcome that, to remember that you're with us wherever we are, and you're the power behind anything that we can accomplish. You're protecting us. You're watching over us. You care about us. And Lord, we just want to be able to function in the way that you'd have us to. And we pray, Lord, you'd help us not to let fear stop that at all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, brother.